Not a test. This is your emergency broadcast system announcing the commencement of the annual purge.
When you hear that sound, you know you're in the Purge Pod. Welcome back to another edition of the Purge Pod. Johnny, realizing you were actually in Mexico City not too long ago and we didn't do a live podcast, which is a huge miss.
It was a very quick appearance in Mexico City. I have a little bit more than 48 hours, maybe a bit less than 48 hours. So it wasn't a lot of time. We got a lot of stuff in during that time period. I don't think the Purge Pod audience could handle a Brusser Tosh Johnny Pod. That would be a little chaotic, I think.
It's also Musser trying to convince me that we need to lower the minimums of $15, and then in the most Musser fashion, I'm like, all right, cool, that's for basketball. Then he's explaining me why it affects basketball. I'm like, well, what about football and in baseball? And he's like, oh yeah, I didn't think about that. Whatever, I'll just continue to exploit basketball until you guys realize. I was like, oh god damn it. Like, this guy, him winning is just, it's all damn near intolerable.
It's the same thing I said when Brad got third place. I'm like, this is the worst possible thing that could happen to our text thread for the next decade. Is Brad finally climbing that mountaintop and getting overall money. We're not going to hear the end of it.
Let's talk about Brad a little bit, because it's been a Brad-filled week. Also, really good Purge chat this week about where everyone has been, where everyone has visited in terms of MLB ballparks. Love that positive chat. We didn't used to have those back in the day, so I appreciate and enjoy those. Love the idea by Rob to say that we all should go to a game, and Toronto seems like one that no one has been to. I've never been to Toronto at all, and I heard it's an awesome city.
Cool city. Great city.
There's options here. We could definitely make that happen and bang that out, and we all could go. That would be sick.
I think where that chat landed was like, do you guys want to go to Toronto or Detroit? And the fact that was the conversation we were having, it's not a contest. We're going to go to Toronto. It's, yeah.
I have family in Detroit. I love Detroit. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Special place in my heart. Used to live there.
Murder
but
capital.
Yeah, Toronto. Toronto. Things would be cheap. I can promise you that. And there would definitely be things to do.
A stat yesterday, the two cheapest stadiums, this is for football, for 16-ounce beers was Detroit at $6.25 and Atlanta for $6.25. Both I would have no problem going to.
One thing that's really cool about Detroit, what they did, just quick factoid here, is that they now have all four sports within like a block and a half of each other.
Oh, that's
so
awesome.
Like, they've built this whole complex. So the Red Wings and I believe the Red Wings and the Pistons are now in the same, they share the same
Yeah, they
downtown.
Share the same arena.
Comerica is downtown, and then right there is Ford Field.
Nice.
Which would be dope to go to.
Yeah, I mean, maybe we can convince Donnie when they lose this year.
Okay, here we go. Donnie, let's get into it. Let's go into the standings, overall standings, because we had a bit of a flippage in baseball.
We talked about this, right? We, I think, went down that statistical rabbit hole of categorical analysis. At the time, you were in first place, but we looked at your team, and it was like a lot of luck was involved. And at that time, Forrest and I had the two categorical best teams, but we're in ninth and 10th. And on that pod, we're like, this is going to change. And sure enough, about 6 weeks later, it's changed. You've got starting to see some separation, and where we are this week is very much helping that separation. A lot of blowouts this week. Not good for people trying to make it. You don't want teams to start really getting double-digit leads in playoff, like safe into playoffs. That really starts limiting where you're going to be able to do. But yeah, saw that flip. You're still hanging on. Your team got better too. So categorically, where you were looking at the near the bottom, you're no longer there. We said Zach might be slipping a little bit. We're seeing that regression. He's starting to slip. So it's gonna get tight here. You're seeing a big change, and it's really going to be fun for football if it holds this way. Because other than you, I think that kind of push, and Owen Forrest, they did fifth place, I think, or fourth place in basketball. It's really going to push out a bunch of teams, and other teams are coming up, so it can change things.
Yeah, we saw. So looking at it right now, I mean, you're right. There are a lot of blowouts happening right now. And so I'm looking at live standings as we do this on Friday the 21st. We're in week 12, I think. Are we in week 12 or week 11 in baseball?
Week 11 is, okay. No, sorry. We are in week 12. We've played 11 weeks and 12's okay. Almost done. So you can call us, we're like at week like 11.75, right?
Yeah. Which is interesting. We're looking at live standings and we have you in first. And this is baseball.
Yep.
You in first, Forrest and Joe in second, me in third. Mm-hmm. And then we have Granz moving it up to fourth place, Tim in fifth, Zach in sixth. And then Sam has been dropping a lot and he is in seventh with Donnie in eighth. And there's a pretty big gap between eighth and 10th right now. You know what? There's still chance for Brad and Gerbert to make a push, but like right now they're looking at 15, 16, 17 games under 500, which is Brad actually is 22 games under 500. That's a dagger. That's good. That makes it very hard
to come back. There's two separations. There's a top three separation, I think, occurring right now. Because with your blowout, you're moving up to, there's a gap between you and fourth place now. There's a good 5-6 game gap. And when you have a team like yours, categorically, I have you as like the fourth or fifth best team on the year. That makes it hard with 8 weeks left to really start making games up. Because it's not just how well you perform. They need you also, your opponents need to not perform as well. And that's when there's just, I made this mistake last year when I bought Otani from you, right? I'm going to buy in. I've got a good enough team. I didn't have enough time left. I missed by, I think, a half a game last year. And I wasn't as far back as some of these guys are now. Right now, Brad's 12 games out of playoffs with 8 weeks left. So that's rough. That's not, he's got a great roster. I think when he goes home and he looks at his team, my team's great. I'm like, and I don't disagree. I think categorically, you're probably the third or fourth best team. But I don't know if you have enough time to make you, Tim, Zach, Sam lose enough games for him to catch. That's Brad.
And the part of our matchup is still very close. But and so let's get into it because we're talking about Brad. We're talking about Brad. So let's get into it before we get into like the overall picture of it. We'll go baseball, then we'll go overall picture quickly here. So currently I'm up 8-1 versus Brad, but I went to bed early last night. I wake up and he had a great Thursday, which is always helpful when there's usually not a lot of games. So like we're very close in a lot of hitting categories that could flip overnight the way our teams are playing. What's interesting right now with what's happening is that Granz is in fourth and they're selling and they have some guys on their team. And candidly, like I think we all know that Hans is a tough negotiator when it comes to trade. Mm-hmm. So he's not just going to give guys away, which is why it's, and you mentioned last year, but like why we should move up the trade deadline and it needs to be passed. I think we all agree with that.
Oh, yeah.
But it's going to be really interesting to see what happens. Are they willing to come down? Are they going to keep it as it is and just keep their studs as it is because or keep their players as it is? So that way it then becomes even harder for Brad. It becomes even harder for Gerbert to go up the standings and puts a major emphasis on football. Sure. I didn't see this coming. There's also, we still have, I think, 8 weeks left after this. So a lot can change.
Sure.
But I didn't see, like, Sam's team. Like, you're talking about my fall, which we expected.
Yes.
Partly because of injuries. But I've never, what saved me is I never lost blowouts. I lost the biggest to you last week, 7-3, I believe.
And
whereas before that, I had 5 straight weeks of 6-4 losses. So because I never had blowouts, I was always staying in the middle. And then you guys just exploded. But Sam has had the biggest drop off. Sam has had
He's had some bad weeks. And the thing is, categorically, his team's good. He's got pretty elite pitching. He punt saves a bit, right? His hitting's not really elite anywhere, but it's not bad anywhere. He's like a middle tier hitting team. So really, he goes into the week punting runs and saves. For him to be getting blown out this bad, it means his pitching probably took some dips. His hitters didn't come through and he ran into some teams that just mashed, right?
So looking at his schedule right now, he's kind of opposite. So he's only had a couple bad losses earlier in the year, but like since week 9 where he lost to Tim, he lost 4-5 and then he lost to Zach 3-7. He's lost to Brad 2-7. And then he is currently losing to the Cowboys, Joey and Forrest, 8-2. So that's why he's dropped, and now he's currently out of the playoff picture.
But if
who
you
knows
look
what
at
happens? But
his remaining schedule. So the thing that's helping you and him the most is, and I'm not trying to call teams out on this. I just did a categorical breakdown, right? there are three teams in this league that have a sub-5 categorical breakdown, which means in most weeks, they're expected to win a 6-4, right? And there are four teams with a +6, which means most weeks they're expected to lose 4-6. You and Sam have the easiest rest of the way. If I look at your remaining games, when I'm considering easy teams based on categorically how they're doing, I think you guys have an easy path. Forrest and I are next behind that group. And then the rest, it gets really tight. But if you look at someone like Brad, Brad still has to play, I believe, me, Forrest twice, and you, and Sam. That's a rough patch for Brad. He's got some easy guys in there too, but he's got four hard teams left. Gerbert has the worst schedule.
So, yeah, so let me look at, I'm gonna say where Brad is right now after this week. Now, again, anything can happen currently, 8-1.
And people are going to buy, people are going to sell, so it's going to change, right? But
we'll see. I don't know if people are going to sell, though. Who is going to sell right now?
Gerbert's
Donnie has
stubborn,
sold a lot.
But they will.
They can't because know why they won't. Hmm. And I would be surprised if they did because they want to try and get 7th in consolation because they finished 2nd they finished 2nd in basketball and they have the most money going into football. So like what they need, and if I'm them, I'm like, okay, we're not going to make playoffs. We'll make a push. We'll do what we can, not sell off next year because we know they're not going to do that. And then they go for 7th. Okay, now they have a 2nd and a 7th place finish. If they can get top 2 in football or top 3 in football, and let's say Tosh, me and Josh, or Forrest and Joe drop off, now it gets really interesting.
Yeah.
Now it gets really, and I can't blame them for that. Like, I wouldn't sell if I was them because they finished that. Now, if they finished 5th in basketball, yeah, they probably would be selling.
But I think the problem they have with holding is they don't want Brad to make playoffs. But if Brad doesn't make playoffs, he has a better team than them in the consolation bracket. They're going to lose right now. Because if Brad makes it, then they're outside looking in. Even if Brad makes it and you fall out, okay, they're still in a tough spot. But if Brad doesn't make it, I don't think you want Brad head-to-head in the Conso playoffs. Not with that roster.
I would, if they're banking on, let's say, my team falling out, I think that's, I would have to take some real injuries.
Zach or Tim are the teams that you're banking on dropping.
And Sam as well. But yeah, they have to. But Sam's right there too. Sam's
right there. But you and Sam have an easier schedule than what. And look, and Sam's aggressive buyer. You're an aggressive buyer. Maybe someone didn't sell entirely, but I could see you guys going out there and eventually paying the Zach Wheeler price. Right. I could see you guys. They'll come down. Grand. It depends. We'll see where they're at.
Be a seller, but then that makes him at risk of losing going last overall because he finished. And
he's out
eighth. Mm-hmm. He finished eighth in basketball. So I don't know if he necessarily wants to sell, and he could.
Nope.
But this is, well, again, why we need to move the trade deadline up, because Sam could be like, fuck it. Maybe he gets in to playoffs and he sneaks in, has a couple good weeks, and then he sells. And
so this is where I would want, where the vote I'm going to put forward is, it's basically around this week, maybe next. I want the trade deadline to be 60% through our fantasy season. Because
I agree.
One stat that's becoming glaring is no team that finishes the regular season champion has won their thing yet. It's still short sample size, but we've had 5 seasons. No first place team has won. Part of that reason is our trade deadline is so late. People are able to buy really good teams really late, which we should look into fixing. It's ludicrous it's this late in the season.
Yeah, no, I agree. But looking at like bigger picture, I think both Gerbert and Brad are in the same position. Both of them don't want the other person in baseball playoffs. Right. I think they both want to go for consolation. And I think, but the challenge, and again, this is football, so who knows where it's going to go. If I'm looking at finances into, or team funds into going into football, Gerbert has a significant advantage at 256. Granted, we're looking at football and you never really know. So that's an approach. I don't know if they plan to do that. That's what they're doing. And Brad has the least amount of money. So Brad went crazy on trades this year.
Yep.
And especially this week.
Yeah. No, look, Brad, it's funny because I've always said this, kind of statistical math is the most dangerous type of math that's ever been invented, because you can use a portion of it to prove your point and then miss the bigger picture, right? So he's been taking a lot of heat this week, and he thinks it's over a $4 trade he made. It has nothing to do with the fact that it's a $4 trade. It has to do with you spent $93 over the past 5 weeks and are 1-4 and getting absolutely shit on this week. again. And it's close to your point, but you go back and you're like, the week he was complaining about Forrest beating him 9-1 because Forrest went crazy. I'm like, yeah, no, Forrest had a good week, but if you also had a terrible week, and if you went and looked that week, Gerbert would have beat you 8-2. Those are the things that he's using part of the story, but missing the larger point, I think, which is right now you are 12 games back. Yes, you have a better roster than I think right now, Sam, Tim, and Zach. I don't think they're going to lose enough and you're going to win enough to make those games back. And that's the part I think he's leaving out of his analysis here.
There is a wild card in here if we're looking at it. I think Tim could be a seller
at the deadline.
I don't think that's, I don't think that's in him right now, but he definitely can, like, for sure. But if there becomes a point of, okay, Brad's already sold off a lot. I personally believe that they are going to not give a shit about money next year and going to let Ryan spend as much as he wants, because if they win basketball, like, it would be very unlikely that they would lose all sports, which begs a conversation, is do we need to have a, you need to keep a minimum in a sport to draft. Yeah. Maybe we don't, maybe we do, but like that would prevent. And we have 2 years. We don't know yet, but I think that's if I'm in Tim's shoes, candidly, and I'm hovering right around this fifth, sixth spot, and I get closer, like, I would risk it. He would have to win baseball, which, again, he had a really good team last year. He knows his baseball, and maybe his team's been hurt. I haven't really checked out. He just lost Mookie, which hurts.
Big time. The problem with Tim's strategy right now, he has 5 punt stats right now. Mm. He's dead last in homers, 8th in ribbies, 8th in stolen bases, 8th in ERA, and 10th in whip. So the best case scenario for him going into a week is a 5-5 and hoping that some pitchers get lit up on the other team. Losing Mookie is not going to help any of his other stats, where he's only 6th in runs, 6th in average. Like, he's in a bad spot. But to your point, he's already placed high enough that all I got to do is really finish higher than Donnie here, and I've got a nice cushion going into football to just, they have a lot of money left, and Yoni's aggressive in football.
Donnie and Sam.
Yeah.
If he finishes ahead of Donnie, Sam, and Zach, like, then who knows?
Because Zach, Zach's playing with
fool's gold in baseball.
He's playing with fool's gold, right? He doesn't need to buy. He doesn't need to sell. He was not trying that well in baseball. His team started off hot. And he's, now I'm not going to sell because I just don't want to finish last. So he's got the most money left for football, right? And him and Donnie, which is really funny because that's really the last place race, have the most money for football. So football is going to be crazy, especially if what I'm hoping for, and I hope you don't take this the wrong way, I want you to be the one that falls out with Brad and Gerbert. Because then football becomes an absolute best-case free-for-all we've ever had in this league. All standings are up for grabs. The two last-place teams have the most money left, so they're not selling anything. And it becomes just a slog for football, which I think would be the best scenario just for overall league fun.
Yeah, but if that happened, then that would mean Joe and Forrest, they would have a dynamic lead in going
so you don't get a buy, so right? You could be a seller here too, right? If I could see with 3 weeks left, if you're guaranteed that Brad and Gerbert are out, and you're looking at it, and me and Forrest have the buy locked up, and you're looking at our teams like, all right, maybe I don't compete with them. I could see you sell a little bit, pulling the TJ special, getting a nice little piece for a pitcher that, like, Sam really wants to get in, and you're safe enough in the playoffs. You're like, I'm not going to compete for the championship, but I'm in the playoffs. That's all I need.
That's a really good thought. That not happening, not selling. The only reason why I did it last year is because we didn't make playoffs in basketball.
That's right.
Maybe I shouldn't have done that, candidly, but I was like, whatever. Let's see what if I can get lucky here. Yeah. And then who knows what would happen in football. It's going to be close. I don't think, again, I'm looking at live standings on the Stat Tracker, which I love Stat Tracker.
I've got them
really
too.
I'm going to bitch about Stat Tracker really quick.
Yep.
The fact that when you're looking at a player and they say do second and they don't say on deck is fucking
It goes to on deck after do second. It goes at bat, on deck, do second.
Yeah, that it should be do third. If you're do third, you're the third guy up. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, if you're at bat, you're next up, do second. Yeah, you're right.
Do second and out on
that's
on
some
deck
horrible
is the
baseball
same thing.
Knowledge.
That's fucking god damn it. It is
Rob, add that to the list for all our people at Yahoo that are listening, and you got to fix this. And so you never know.
Like, it's going to come down to, like, you and me aren't playing again, which I'm thankful for based off of.
You have Forrest once, and you have Sam once, which I think Sam's team has been having some rough weeks, but he's not bad in a lot of stats, man. He's not an easy beat. He's just had some bad weeks.
And neither is Gerber.
Oh,
But their team is good, and I play them twice, and so I'm just happy my team's getting healthy. But really quickly, how many times are this league gonna give a chance with fucking Tristan McKenzie? How many?
It's gonna be one of the awards later. This league, these guys that you just can't quit.
Come the fuck on, guys. And what's just going to happen? I'm saying this now. I'm going to try and pick him up like in the playoffs for like a last second. I'm going to get my fuck. He's going to lose.
It's always the kiss of death. Like, anytime anyone talks about someone being bad, they go off. Anytime you talk about him being good, their arm falls off. But the Tristan McKenzie, there's a wild amount of love for this guy who I don't think ever really done it. I get a guy like Randy. You kept him forever. All his metrics are showing you that he's absolutely dog shit this year for no reason. He's not hurt. He's just dog shit. But yet, at least he's done it before. Has Tristan McKenzie ever done it before for a season?
That's a question for Rob, because I'm sure Rob has
going to baseball reference.
Taken many chances. We know Rob loves his guys. The part of the thing that is interesting about this, and so I want to go into this because I went in, and again, this is not going to be 100% accurate for everyone, but I went in and I plugged in as if the end of last week, all of our categories, and did a roto scoring on where teams would be ranked right now if we did roto.
Okay.
Again, it's skewed because there's teams like me, like Donnie, who are tanking on purpose in saves, which in a roto you just can't do. It's a killer. You can't tank at all.
Nope.
Like you have to be, you have to be good. So again, take that with a grain of salt, because it would move teams, like it would move me up significantly if I wasn't going for that. So if we were to do this right now, first place would be, and I'm not going to do points because I don't want to get into the weeds of it all.
Sure.
But first place would be Forrest and Joe.
Yep.
If we were doing roto.
Yep.
You would be in second.
Yep.
Tied with Sam, actually. So Sam right now is currently in seventh.
Yep.
According to the fourth would be Brad. So again, hey, we're given, we're all about fairness on this pod. I would be fifth. Gerbert would be sixth. Zach would be seventh. Grands would be eighth. Donnie would be ninth, and Tim would be 10th. So Tim has been, if you're looking at the categories, has been the most beneficial of week-to-week matchups.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely. And he runs into a little bit of a hard spot here the rest of the way. Now, him and Brad are very similar schedules. So when I did easy versus hard, I used the same categorical as you did. And they're pretty much split. They have four easy matchups, lower categorical ranked teams, and then four hard matchups. So it'll be fun to see. The obvious advantage Tim has going for him is I think he's 13 games up on Brad right now. If the schedule is what it is, and Brad still has to play four hard matchups, what's the best case scenario? Does he win all four of those? Does he win them all 6-4? I don't see myself, I play him, I don't see him beating me 7-3, 8-2, right? I see that week being, he might win 6-4, 6-3-1, but it's rare that you're going to beat a Forrest, a me, a you bigger than 7. And you need that to happen.
Yeah, no, that's the challenge, right? Yeah. And I think that's what you meant by the 6-4 categorical issue, is it would be hard to do blowout. He does have a pretty favorable schedule. Like, obviously, he plays me next, which, by the way, I would have played Tim 3 times, and I think Donnie 3 times before.
I think I had like COVID or something when I was doing the schedule. Yahoo, another thing that they have to work on is if we have custom rivals. So I have to go in week 8 and go, this is the rivalry week. It won't reset from there. I have to then manually try to figure it out. And usually I'm pretty good about getting us lined up, right? But this year I fucking foobarred it. There's some back-to-backs. There's, to your point, you haven't played Gerbert yet, but you've played other teams 3 times. So it all works out.
I know Gerbert and Forrest and Joe play each other back-to-back weeks in week,
which is not supposed to happen.
I don't know if
look.
This, I feel like this is a ChatGPT thing. Like, you plug everyone in
I have it already worked out in the worksheet. I just have to manually do every single week. And that just, it's, you do 1 week, save, go to week 2, save, go to week 3. It takes 2 hours to do it through Yahoo's interface. It sucks. So I just fucked it up for baseball. Yeah. But the good news is, you don't play anyone more than you should, and you don't play anyone less than you should. So even though Gerbert is playing back-to-back weeks versus Forrest at the end of the year, they haven't played all year. So those are the two games they're supposed to play. Everyone else got Gerbert twice. So it still balances out. It's just an unfortunate timing if you have that app.
And that actually Tim's schedule just really quickly for the rest of the year. Because I think he's very interesting because he can go either way.
Yep.
He's got me next week. And then he goes Donnie.
Easy.
Yeah. And then he goes Joe and Forrest.
Hard.
And then he's got Granz. Easy. Which is big because he could knock them out.
Yep. Head to head is huge here down the road, right?
So these next three right here, his last 5 weeks are massive because he goes Granz, he goes Zach, he goes Sam, he goes Brad, he goes Granz again. Like that is
so that's Sam Brad week. That week versus Brad might be the most important matchup. Who are Brad's last 4 weeks? Because right now he's the only one of this group that's significantly down that needs to make the jump up. And I'm not trying to pick on Brad. I'm just saying, Donnie, you're already sold. You're six games out. You're going to keep falling. Gerbert, you're like 13 games back. You're not going to make it back in either. You have the hardest schedule remaining. But Brad has an okay schedule, but he's got, who are his last 4 weeks?
Yeah, so this is where it gets challenging. So Brad, so you're looking at games out. I'm looking at he currently is 22 games under 500, which is tough. But who knows? But again, but his last, I'm going to go his last 6 weeks.
Okay.
Because it's significant because he needs some blowouts.
Yep.
He's got Granz. Which needs a blowout. Zach got to have a blowout because those are all guys ahead of him.
I'd say those are two easier matchups for Brad's roster.
And then he has Sam, again, the guy who's ahead of him.
That's
currently.
Not going to be a blowout, though. I don't think so.
And then he goes you.
Nope.
Then Tim, then you again.
Yeah.
So again, anything could happen.
Yep.
Like injuries, we've seen it pop up. Like trust me, I think the whole league has dealt with injuries, but it's a tall task, which is makes sense of why he's buying, right? He got first.
Yeah.
Like it would be a disservice if he shouldn't.
Yeah. Well, his point's right. Like, I got to go for it. What do you guys want me to do? He has to go for it. I think where I'm seeing it is it's a bunch of nickel and dime moves, right? Like, I don't think a lot of the moves he's been making are going to tip the needle, right? He needs to convince Gerbert to give him Alvarez or go get Wheeler for the price because you're already 93 in the hole. One of the things that this is where I made the comment if you miss baseball, and I've had a hell of a time competing this year. I had the least amount of money going in, and I only was $93 down to start this season. He's at negative 190 already in next year. So it is, if you miss this year, you have the least amount of money left this year for football, which I get it. You won football last year. It's going to be hard to do it again. I think it could be a multi-year kind of problem to come back out of the hole here.
Yeah, I know. Eventually, that's why if you got to think almost like 2 years ahead where it's like, all right, there's a couple thoughts. Like one, Musser, I trust you, go win it. Like you spend as much as you need. And then we could either do one of two things. One, just suck in baseball and suck in football and do what Zach did and get a bunch of like younger guys and hope they turn into studs. Or you just keep trading the future picks or future dollars like to help you that year. And I think like I don't know if teams are going to take that approach, but it's definitely an approach you can take.
Really quick, I've got the Tristan McKenzie stats for you if you want it. 5 years in the league, he's 21-28 as a starter, 42% win. His lifetime ERA is 3.9. His whip's not bad, 1.2. His K through 9 seems to be his saving grace. He's a little over, like a 9.4 average K through 9. I don't get it. That's an ad drop pitcher.
But
close to 4 ERA, I mean, 1.2 whip on a team that doesn't get you a lot of run support till this year.
Listen, we all have guys that we fall in love
with.
Shout
out to
DeAndre 100%. Swift. Like, there you go. We all have guys that they do well at the beginning. And you're like, fuck, there's a guy, even more so when you draft a guy because you read that he's going to be a sleeper and he lives up for it for a year or two when you first have him. And then he's always going to be like, have a soft spot in your heart.
Yep.
Clearly, McKenzie was that guy for Gerbert. Even pickups, even more. David Hamilton on Boston, for me, I love this fucking guy. I love this fucking guy, and I always have all...
Like, you see him on the waiver, and you're like, how's this guy? I got to go get him, and you hold him.
Or maybe he's been there for a while, and you're like, you know what? I'm seeing some trends that I like. I think he's going to continue, and he does.
Yeah.
And again, like you just fall in love with these guys. We all have those dudes, 100%.
So really quick,
we should also do a pod about the most lovable guys.
We should look at... I'm sure we could pull this up, like... roster percentage for players and then versus our league. Who's rostered in our league more than they should be? Like over the time, we could look at that. So To wrap up,
yeah. Which team, which non-keeper has been rostered
the most? Right.
By the same, rostered the most, like,
so
over the years.
Before we skip on to the next, give me your who's in, who's out for baseball right now. Go on the rest of the way. What's your gut tell you?
Oh, man. I need to look at Zach's schedule because Zach is right on the cusp for me. I think Tim's going to drop.
Okay.
I think Sam's going to get in.
Okay. You're in.
I think I'm looking at, I'm 12 games above 500 at the moment.
So you've got Zach, Grons.
Oh, so I have to choose one
Brad.
Person.
Two. Because if you think Tim's out, then you've got.
I mean, but Sam goes in. I think it's going to be. I think, actually, you know what? I'm going to change it. I think.
You've got, look.
And I don't
me,
know. Because,
Forrest, you, so, and Sam in. That's four.
Yeah, but Sam right now is 6 games under 500. But I think he'll probably pack. His team is good enough. So I will say, I think Grons is going to drop off. Because those guys right now, if you look at Grons, Tim, and Zach, they're all within a game of each other.
So you're saying Grons, Tim,
because
out,
I think they're going to sell.
Zach,
I think they're going to sell.
Brad in.
No, Brad is not going to make it.
Then you can't have 5 teams not make it. Does Tim make it over Brad?
No, so here. Yeah, that's what I said. So
okay.
I said,
okay.
I have you, Forrest, and Joe.
Okay.
Me.
Okay. And Josh.
Sam, Tim, and I think Zach squeaks in because I think one of those guys,
okay,
if they're smart, trades with Grons, which I know was a strategy of Brad.
Like, so, yeah.
If he trades with Grons and he gets in mixer and Tim Wars, it's a better
spoilers. I play him twice. That was one of the reasons I went after small move, nothing big. I went after Ketel Marte because Nico is finally done for me. I can't really trust him anymore. So that was part of the reason too. I play Grons twice. So I'm like, let me go and weaken him up a little bit. It's not a bad
strategy.
I mean,
they got JD Martinez has been good. He's got Keller, who on Pittsburgh is really good. He's got trade pieces still.
Yep.
I gave him shit, but that was like
so the fourth, cheap, like, the current fourth place Grons you have falling out.
We have 8 weeks. Yeah,
eight
I do.
8 weeks.
Because I think someone's going to make a trade, and I think it's going to be Tim who's going to make a trade with them. That's my prediction.
I think they're in, and I think Zach falls
out. Wow.
I think
so. Then and Sam makes it in, is what you're saying.
Just because of remaining schedule, it's close. They both play heavy, but also I think Zach's team overperformed, and I don't think he's going to buy anything, right? So I think that Grons is going to get really lucky here and sneak into that sixth spot. It's going to be really close. I think we're going to come down to a half a game miss from Brad and from Zach on this one.
Yeah, Sam's also got the third lowest in saves. He's the worst in runs.
That's it.
Fifth in stolen bases. So like those are, especially stolen bases, saves, like those could be potential opportunities for him to pick some guys up from Grons or anybody else.
What he needs is his hitters to wake the fuck up. Julio's got to come back.
Yeah,
he needs these guys to start
Julio
hitting.
Is.
It's the summer, so this is about it. This is as long as your leash goes if you're going to make it, right? You're 250 at bats in.
The big news, the other news too, is like there's a lot of time left. Weeks is a lot, and we still have a lot to the trade deadline.
Yep.
So who knows where this is going to land? Maybe. But that's the other thing. It's really cool to be first when it's week 12, June 21st. It's a lot cooler to be in first than playoffs when you're in the last week going in and you have a healthy team.
Hell yeah.
Like I would much rather of my team, like what happened with my team could have been a disaster. I could have been very much in Brad's spot
this year. 1,000%.
Or Gerber's spot without a doubt. And I saw that and I was like, I need to make like incremental trades to just stay afloat and pickups to stay afloat. So
this is going to fuel get to the vote night or vote pod or whenever we're going to do a vote. This is going to fuel the Brad Roto fire. But I'm going to go on record to say, I think that is absolutely fine in a standalone baseball league. But when we play in a head-to-head league in 3 sports, if we go Roto in one, we have to go Roto in all. Or else, look, sometimes
you're
the Chiefs and you're playing the Bills. That happens. That's a tough matchup. We can't just discount baseball and not discount then basketball and football. And you can do a Roto or points league for both of those as well. But it's part of the fun of our head to tell everyone to fuck yourself.
Exactly.
You scored 145 points this week in football. I scored 146. Go fuck yourself. That's it.
Also, a month in, if you're in last place in Roto, like you're done.
No, yeah. And I hate
that's
that.
No fun. Right. That's no fun. Right. That doesn't happen
especially in football, because it's so chaotic. Every year in football, the difference between third place and eighth place is a game. Yeah. I don't think we can make the switch, although I do get why this is logically frustrating. Currently, based on what we're saying right now, Sam is in seventh place. He has the third best overall roto team. Brad is in ninth place. He has the fourth best overall roto team. You go down that list. Gerbert's in last. They have the fifth or sixth best roto team. So I get why that's frustrating, but tough shit. It should balance out.
It will, yeah. And I'm really interested to see what happens. Again, there's a lot of injuries that's happened this year. There's going to be more. So we're going to see some. You're going to see guys like, dude, we haven't even talked about Santander on your team, who has 12 homers.
This month he has 12 homers.
That's what I mean. Yeah. And so we're going to see stolen bases are going to keep going up. There's going to be a lot of, I think we are far from done. And I wouldn't be surprised if, who knows, all it takes is three good weeks in a row by Gerbert or Brad, and it changes the whole outlook.
It absolutely does. And we're saying we're pretending that he couldn't go and blow out three teams in a row 9-1. Absolutely can happen. Look at this week. This week we currently have two or three 9-1, 9-0, 8-2 blowouts occurring. So anything is still possible. By no means are we trying to say it's done. I'm just saying it's getting dark early is where I'd put it.
Brad could flip this week. We're playing each other. One bad day and he has a decent day. And all of a sudden, it is complete. And it could be today. And it's completely flipped. We're called the dog days of summer. But especially with pitchers right now, this is when the pitchers are very inconsistent. It's hot. They get tired. They're on the road. There are a lot of things that affect.
Yeah, when it heats up, the ball starts flying more in these parks too, right? Homers are going to come back. Statistically, this has been one of the worst home run years until the last 2 weeks, when it was that dead ball year during COVID, and it was the ball's not flying. This was statistically the next worst year for that until about 2 weeks ago, when everybody started mashing again. So maybe baseball switched the balls again, put a little more pop in them, but it's getting interesting. Oh, we haven't even talked. What movie are we doing today?
Exactly. We're going to get right into it. Let's get into it. Today, we're doing, this is our 15th episode, guys. I know you're happy for us. We are doing Old School. We are bringing it back. It's been a while. We've had this one on the list for a while, Johnny, but I think it's important to have this one. This is one is core to our, I wouldn't even say youth, but it was just core to us being in that high school, college area of just one of the all-time classic.
This is our Animal House for our generation. Right. This is Animal House. This is the what it meant to be a junior, senior high school, college kid going off, what a party you envisioned to be like for a millennial. This was the move.
This is Vince Vaughn at his highest. This is Will Ferrell at his highest. There are so many good characters.
The lesser known Wilson brother at his highest.
Jeremy Piven. I would say this is his apex for
Luke Wilson's best movie, probably.
Johnny, do you want to do which one do you want to do here in terms of, we can see the quotes in front of us, but which one do you want to do? It speaks to you.
God, yeah. I like our honorable mentions. I think definitely both speak to us. I'll kick us off.
Okay.
This is about halfway through. The shit hits the fan of the movie, and basically Mitch gets a letter that's like, "Dear Mitch, if you're holding this letter, you already know. The house has been boarded up. The doors, the windows, everything. We're at the Comfort Inn, room 112. I love you, Frank."
This particular line was so good, dude. It just gets better with age. It's just so funny. It's just, oh my God. Will Ferrell, God damn it, man. He is so fucking great in this movie. All right. For this one, I have Gerbert and Brad. Dude, "I love you" at the end is so good. Frank,
I love you.
You already know the house is boarded up. He just can see the house is already boarded up. All right, for this one, I have Gerbert and Brad. Are playoffs boarded up? Is it too late? Can they get back into the house? They did in the movie, and they got into the Dean's house, but can Gerbert and Brad get their way, win the decathlon, and get back to the playoffs?
I think based on everything we talked about, anything is possible, but it's a tall order. I'm going with Donnie standing on the curb looking at the house that's the inevitable planning the next draft and thinking, God, did Zach just board me up here? If Zach makes playoffs, am I done? Is this my vacation to plan? I think it's got to be getting a little bit nervous over a team at Camp Donnie. Can't wait to see what that's like.
They perform well in football too. They historically have always done well in football. So
Yoni's sport is
really
football. It's what he watches. It's what he focuses on. He's always competitive. And Donnie left him a ton of money to go out and do what Yoni likes to do. Maybe the strategy that this year, Don, of just buying all the first and third basemen because they were value was not the best move. Maybe that wasn't what you should do. Just if Pete Alonso's going to go for $25, so be it.
Yeah, that's he got a little too.
He let other people get in his head. He let others getting deals. Just he couldn't have it. Couldn't have it.
Yeah, I do remember him during the playoffs. Wow, I had this guy going for $8, and he like went for 15. If you have that attitude, you're gonna get like.
You gotta play your game, Don.
You gotta go for the guys. All right, next quote here. Wow, geez, is that you? Hello, Mitch Bernard. I see you guys haven't changed much. Who's this guy? Beanie, you remember Cheese, Rodney's kid brother. Actually, my name's not Cheese anymore. It's Gordon Pritchard. Oh, yeah? Cheese. Yeah, didn't we lock you in a dumpster one time? Yeah, I got out. Cool, man. Glad you did. For this one, I have Forrest and Joe and you for coming out of the dumpster and becoming the Deans and becoming first and second place and your team's coming into reality of what they actually are.
Cheese. Yeah, man, that was such a great line. Hey, there's some whippets lying around here if you want. No, I'm good, thanks.
That's right. Forgot about that one.
I'm gonna go back to something I said earlier. I'm hoping for the chaos. I want a full flip of these standings. If I could have a situation where I thought you and Forrest would miss, and just have the top four fall and the bottom four make it in, I want it. I think football. The reason we set the league up this second decade for being football last was specifically this, because I don't care how much money you have. I don't care who your keepers are. In football, week one, everyone's dead and you have no idea what's going to happen, right? That's what I'm hoping for. I'm hoping for a full flip and just a massive dumpster fire going into football.
I think we're set up for that anyways, honestly. Yeah. Like, I really do.
You should. I'll do this one. Funnily enough, like a lot of people my whole life told me that the way I talk and the sound of my voice is very Vince Vaughn. Just my cadence and my laugh and my mannerism. A lot in college, I used to get asked to do Vince Vaughn impressions from this movie. And this was absolutely one of them. And he goes, oh yeah, that's it. I got a student alt rock band coming on next, Mitch. I own 6 speaker cities. I'm worth $3.5 million the government knows about. I got more electronics up there than a damn Kiss concert. You think I'm going to roll out this type of red carpet for a fucking marching band? Just make sure you can see the stage.
That's really good. For this, I said like, you... And I interpret it as making sure you can see the stage. Are there going to be more trade fireworks? Mm-hmm. Who is going to be the next team to sell? Is Tim going to sell? Is Tim going to buy? Is Sam going to sell heavy? Is Brad going to buy more? Is Gerbert going to pull the trigger? Is Gron's going to loosen up a little bit and sell these guys for a little bit more? Are they going to make a big blockbuster deal for a basketball guy? There are keeper. There is a lot on the line here and everything's still very close. So that's what I had for this one.
I agree, and I think this goes one of two ways. It's either the Spider-Man meme where everyone's just pointing fingers at each other, waiting for someone to shoot, but no one ever does, or it just becomes a free-for-all at the deadline and people just start gobbling up. Everyone's got a lot to lose, a lot to play for, a lot to lose, so it could be just a cold war at the end and no one's really buying or selling, but that in itself is fireworks, right? If there's no moves, the pressure gets even more on Gerbert, more on Brad, more on Zach to try and hold on, right? Yeah. All right, quick. I think this movie's so good. I think we both have an honorable mention award as well, right?
Yeah. So this is funny because so everyone knows how we do this. Johnny and I have a notes app that we just add in our quotes and then we then separately put in like how we interpret it and essentially give the awards. We both did this one with different quotes, but for the same thing. So for me, I had... Yay! Happy birthday, Max. Yeah, look at that. It's got 3 speeds. And this is, of course, when Frank is re-gifting or tries to re-gift his bread maker for the third time to Beanie's 2-year-old or 3-year-old son. He tries to gift a kid, tries to re-gift a bread maker to a kid. And so I had Bueller, who I think has been traded 4 times now. And I had him. I paid a lot for him in the draft. Mm-hmm. And again, going back to Donnie, if there's a guy you like, and I ended up, you know, realizing, I think I saw how he's performing in minors and I traded him for a catcher, which I then ended up dropping.
Yeah. Thanks. My award also goes to Bueller for a slightly different reason, but my quote, the opening of this movie, the first 15 minutes are just absolutely, they put you on there's even quotes in this movie you can't say anymore for fear of getting canceled. The opening quote with the taxi driver being absolutely one of them. But this one's shortly after. Mitch is drunk at Beanie's wedding, and his true love is hard to find. Sometimes you think you have true love, and then you catch the early flight home from San Diego, and a couple of nude people jump out of your bathroom blindfolded like a goddamn magic show ready to double-team your girlfriend. And then Vince Vaughn jumps in. What my friend Mitch here is trying to say is true love is blind. Frank's dad's here. I haven't seen him in 10 years. It's good to see you. But the quote that goes here is,
I love you, Dad. I love you, Dad.
Training for Bueller. And keep in mind, they backed out because they were afraid of the start. And then it was like, no, I don't want the start. Who wants the start? Then Bueller gets hurt. And good on Brad, though. This is good mojo for Brad. He did not back out of that deal. They postponed it a day. Technically, the deal was already made, but he didn't have to reaccept it. It was already announced before he accepted it again that Bueller was going on. That could be the good mojo Brad needs, TJ. That is a big karma upswing, you know, to acknowledge that trade.
Yep, he did accept it. Good on him for that, even though he wanted to wait because he didn't want Bueller against the Rockies, and so he kept Severino, who ended up getting fucking shelled anyways, too. Which is just Brad's season in a microcosm.
It's just a weird look to buy a pitcher and be like, no, I know he has 10 starts left for our season. I don't want this start. I'm like, why are you buying the pitcher?
I'm not like getting into that game with pitchers. Yeah. I think if you're the guy you like, you just got to go for it.
You got to go for it. That's the guy. To be fair, though, I started Bobby Miller the next day, and he got absolutely fucking lit up in Colorado as well. What are you going to do?
Yeah. Johnny, good pod.
Yeah.
This was all the way around. I think these guys can look forward to us doing some more creative stuff, analysis, things like that. And I think from what it sounds like, a lot of guys enjoyed having Joe on. And so we want to get some of the new guys on, do intros, all that stuff.
I've heard some feedback. They don't like how much we talk about our own teams. So my feedback to that is get your own pod, number one. And then two, do something that makes us want to talk about you. I'm not going to talk about your team if you're not making any trades. I'm not going to talk about your team if you're not doing anything exciting. So make some noise.
How about give a shit, guys, huh? How about that? Yeah, start your own pod.
Yeah, also,
fucking losers, go fuck yourself Friday.
We probably are going to get at least one, maybe two pods in before, but we're coming down to the annual purge.
Away from the annual purge. You guys have seen the house. We're very excited about what we're doing and where we're booking, and we have some surprises up our sleeves and some competitions that are going to be had, so get ready to just fucking kill each other.
The border is closed, though, so you make sure you bring your passports and they're up to date. The driver's license might not work coming back over, so just make sure.
Yes, you guys do actually need a passport, not a driver's license for you morons.
If you have the passport card, I think I'm the only person on the planet that does have that. That does work only for land and sea travel, but not by air for unknown reasons.
I do have one of those, Johnny, but I've never...
And
I am actually walking the border. I am walking the border, so I'm excited for that. I will do that. All right. You guys suck.
Go fuck yourselves.
We all hate you. GFYF.